you got your Bibles, turn with me quickly to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. And also, if you can, slip over to Zechariah chapter number 4. Zechariah chapter number 4 and verse number 6. And I'm going to read this verse and then read John 16. I want to magnify something this morning, and so I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to do about a 2 or 3 sermon series on Sunday morning and maybe one on Sunday night from this passage of Scripture from Zechariah and also in the Gospel of John. If you got your Bible, say amen. Amen. There was a survey about 10 years ago, and I didn't get a vote, but it said the hardest Sunday for a pastor to preach is this Sunday. Hello? When the time changes, I was looking for some of them. There's still people I'm looking for, okay? And when the time changes, just something about that. They say that's the most difficult time in the world. And it is a time when a lot of folks just don't show up. But now we got a good attendance, considering school break and everything today. There's a good attendance here. So would you prove all of them wrong and pay attention? And get you some toothpicks or something. Keep your eyes open. Amen. Zechariah 4, are you there? If you're online, be sure to share this right now. Push the share button. I believe the whole world needs to hear what I'm preaching this morning and this little short series that I'm going to deal with. Zechariah 4, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power. But I want you to notice this next phrase. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to just keep that thought in your mind. The series is entitled, But by My Spirit. I am going to give you 3 things, and there's many more that I could preach on, that the Holy Spirit has everything to do with these 3 things. And I want you now go to John 16. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And go to verse number 8, or excuse me, verse number 7. Then we'll read down to verse number 11. Notice that, remember that thought, but by my spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Our Father, right now I pray that you would anoint me with your power. I want to preach like I've never preached before. I want to give insight to both the Christian and the unbeliever this morning that we are nothing outside the power and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you'll help me to magnify that this morning. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Remember these 3 words, but by my spirit. Now, there's a lot of confusion in this world today. Somebody help me preach. A lot of religious confusion. And I think the religious confusion is because a lot of people just don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, by the way, there's a lot of carelessness in the Christian walk today. And I believe it's because of an ignorance and a lack of yieldness to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's just be honest about it. There's a lot of folks today that are trying to do the work of God in the flesh. I tell you what's happened in church. It's not here like it's here. Thank God it's not going to be as long as I'm breathing air. But most churches today, here's the point. They've hired a pastor to be an entertainer. They've set a stage for entertainment. Hey, by the way, how many churches do you know that even has a choir yet? See, everything's built upon entertainment and the flesh. And that's why we see so much superficial Christianity and so much shallow Christianity, because everything is built upon the flesh. But I say we need to build everything we do, every facet of the Christian life, every facet of what we do in the church ought to be done by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and that the Holy Ghost of God would be an unction to us. He'll give us unction to function. Amen. And by the way, that does not remove your responsibility of serving God. But here's what it does. Boy, happy day. It unlocks the limitations you have in the flesh and enables you by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in you now to live an abundant, wonderful, joyful Christian life. Amen. Here's what I want to preach on this morning. The first step. I want to speak on revelation, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Can I start with an illustration? I used to, now I don't do it as much now, to travel a lot. And preach out a lot. When I first came here, the church wasn't able to pay me enough to even take care of me all the way. They'd done their best. But they did allow me to go out and preach. So here's what my week was like. Work all day here, preach Monday and Tuesday, Thursday and Friday out, come back and I'll preach Wednesday here and Sunday here. And that was a weekly process for years. And here's something I did. So since you're traveling so much, how many of you believe you're going to be in motels a lot? And can I give you some good advice? If you're going to go in a motel, first thing you do when you unlock a door, turn the lights on. I remember a few years ago when I was down in Kingsport, Tennessee. How many remember Steve Jarrett? And by the way, he loved me, loved going with me, but he called me a pig because when I got there, I threw all my stuff out everywhere, and he always called me a pig, and well, that's okay. And he couldn't understand why I had a curling iron. Back then, I had hair, and it was all curly, so I tried to straighten my hair, and but I remember we went to Kingsport, Tennessee. Chad, I'll never forget. Chad, Brother Steve and I were going down there, and you know, for whatever reason it was, I said, Steve, I give him the key. I said, you open the door. I said, be sure to turn the lights on. And I want you to know something. And you just got to know Steve Jarrett. And I was right behind him, turned the lights on. When he walked in, the lights was on, and Andre the Giant was laying in the bed. It wasn't a real Andre Giant, but he sure looked like Andre Giant. And he had a little woman there with him. He stood up, and I said, and you think I said, you ought to have seen what he said. And it can't be recorded on this tonight. But anyway, we got the wrong room. And you know why we knew we were in the wrong room? The light shined and revealed we was in the wrong place, or he was in the wrong place. And I want you to know something. There is no way that sinners can be saved unless the light shines in them and reveals their need of Jesus Christ and their need to be saved. And that's not going to be manipulated by a preacher. That's not going to be manipulated by a church. That's going to be wrought by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Glory. That word reprove in verse number 8, notice it with me. Says, and when he has come, he will reprove. That word reproves you several times and several ways in the New Testament. It means to reprove or rebuke. But on other occasions, here's what it means. And in the context of our passage, here's what it means. It means to bring to light, to discern, or to make manifested by the light. This word reprove actually is a legal term. And here's how it's used. It is like a prosecutor prosecuting a case. And when he prosecutes, he is bringing to light the wrongs that the man had committed and the crimes. I want you to know something before anybody can be saved. The Holy Spirit of God has to bring to light your sin, your depravity, your wickedness before you can ever approach God and be saved. Amen. He's our cross examiner. Amen. See, here's what the Holy Spirit does. See, I'm a preacher. Y'all know that. I'm called to preach. I'm not mama called or daddy sent. I was called to preach. That's my assignment. But ladies and gentlemen, the preacher can only do one thing, and that's preach the word of God and do his assignment. But I tell you what he can't do. He can't convict. He can't reveal. He can't draw. He cannot bring sinners to Christ. He can only preach the word of God. And then it's the Holy Ghost of God that does the work in the heart so a man or a woman or a boy or a girl can be saved. I'll give you three things in our passage. I'm a Bible preacher. I go right down the verses. Amen. Look verse number 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. First of all, I want you to notice the repulsiveness of man's condition. They use that word sin. It carries the idea of unrighteousness. My Bible says this. Let me see what tell you what my Bible says. There is none righteous. Amen. No, not one. My Bible, that word goes on. My Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's what the Bible's saying about sin. It is in reality saying we've all come up short. It's an archery word. The bullseye is perfect sin from the cradle to the grave, and none of us could hit the bullseye. I don't care how good you think you are, how more you think you are. Yeah, hey, listen, morality will keep you out of jail, but only the blood will keep you out of hell. Amen. The Holy Spirit, first of all, reveals our unrighteous state. Now let's do something for a moment, can I? Look at me. Hey, by the way, all of us have done wrong. Hey, by the way, unsaved person, the only difference between me and you, you're a sinner without grace, and I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to heaven because grace was bestowed upon me. But we are all sinners. Let's just see if we can do this for a moment. If I took all the wrongs that you ever done and just laid them to the side, and all the crimes that you've committed and lay them to the side. You are still totally unacceptable to God, because our very nature, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. When I came out of the womb of my mother, I came out a sinner. I am by nature a sinner. For as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And secondly, in verse number 9, the Holy Spirit reveals our unrighteous soul. Let's just be honest. We're a mess because of our nature. But we act like we do because of our nature. And we're also a mess because of our desire for sin. Hey, by the way, before I got saved, I was the pace car. I had a desire for sin. You said, where it came from? It came from my nature. You know why people act like a devil? Hey, why they drink and use drugs and their own pornography and they experience sexual sins. You know why they're in that state? It's because of their nature that caused them to make a choice. You're not only a sinner by nature, you're a sinner by choice. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. You said, preacher, I can't help it. I'm just bent that way. You are. You are bent to sin. You have a desire to sin. That's why there's a lot of Christians who I call counterfeit Christians are still practicing sin and still in sin. I tell you what's not, it never happened. They've never had the Holy Ghost do a work in their heart, and they are a professor and not a possessor. By the way, the church is not going to be what takes you to heaven. Baptism isn't going to take you to heaven. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart when you trust Christ. Am I preaching? Then the Holy Spirit also reveals our unrighteous situation. I want to tell you, we live in an unrighteous society. And I want y'all to know something. You can take all the self-improvement plans you want to, but you're not going to improve on your nature, because it's wicked, it's depraved, it's ungodly. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe unto me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and live in a nation of unclean lips. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a doomed situation. Am I preaching? Secondly, now that's the bad part. Now let me give you the good part. See, by the way, you'll never be a Christian, and you never can approach God until you realize you are lost. You know, it's one of the hardest things in the world is just show folks they're lost. Here's why. Because, see, there's a lot of Christians that don't live right. And sinners, what they do, they try to gauge their life horizontally. And by the way, some sinners live better than some church people. But I want you to know something. That is not the standard. The standard is you judge yourself vertically. And when we look up to God, we know our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Secondly, look at verse 10. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. Secondly, we see the righteousness of Christ's character. Sin points us to the human family. But the Holy Spirit points us to Christ, the righteous one. Somebody help me there. It revealed, first of all, Christ's essential righteousness. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. He is as righteous as God is righteous. Can I brag on Jesus a minute? How many says it's okay to brag on Jesus? There was never a time when he was not 100% righteous. He cannot sin. He did not sin. And he would not sin. You know why he couldn't? Because he's immutable. He is righteous in himself. That's his essential being. He didn't have to borrow righteousness. He didn't have to buy righteousness. He didn't have to bargain for righteousness. It says in him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I want you to know, I know they portray our Christ as some kind of light. They bring him down to us like he sinned and like he done things wrong. My Jesus never done one thing. We got a high priest that was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Look at me. Yet without sin. Amen. Never sinned once. Am I preaching? Secondly, I like this. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ's experiential righteousness. See, here's the only hope. Look at me. The only hope is that Christ's righteousness will be put to your account. Amen. Amen. Ain't no other hope. He was made sin for us. He became sin. He became the adulterer. He became the drunk. He became the dope addict. He took the whole world's sin upon himself so that God can impute his righteousness upon you. Whew. What a God. I'll try to illustrate this. I don't think my sister's here. Is she here? I'm looking for her. No, she was here last week. Up in Chandler Drive. How many's ever been to Chandler Drive? I can give you advice. Don't go unless you're packing. Rough. But back when I was a boy, young man, and my brother was a young man, they had a store, a grocery store. Some of y'all remember them. A local grocery store. How many remember they? Some of you old timers remember this. Some of you young kids don't have a clue. You zinged out on this one. But they had a store back then that you could carry a tab. Anybody remember that? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Because I looked around and a bunch of people don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. And there was a store up there called Hardy's Grocery. His name was Hardy Bogus. Never forget him. He loved me for some reason. Loved my dad. My dad had a tab there. And my dad told me if I do certain chores, I could have a tab there. But I had to pay for my own tab. I told him I didn't think that was a good deal. And what happened was, I was going for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I knew I owed my tab. And Hardy done it. You know how he done it back then? They had the tabs in shoeboxes. Well, I went to him. I said, Hardy, I want to pay my tab. And he said, well, let me find your shoebox. And looked at my shoebox, he said, there ain't nothing in there. I said, what? I said, where's my tab? I owe you. He said, not here. So he went over to my dad's tab. And he said, oh, your tab is in here. And your dad paid your tab. See, I owed a debt that I could not pay, But my God paid my tab in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and lost, you owe a debt, you owe a debt, you owe a debt, but thank God Jesus paid the debt. Thank God God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Thank God he paid it all. Thank God he took my debt. You ask me where my sins are. They are as far as the east is from the west. I tell you where they are. They're in a sea of forgetfulness, and there's a no fear sign there. Somebody say amen. Whew. Am I preaching? Woo. I'm enjoying myself. I hope y'all are. Then the Holy Spirit also, thirdly, reveals Christ's evidential righteousness. See, I didn't understand this a long time ago, but I do know now that when God saved us, he put his righteousness in us. You know what I hear most sinners say? Well, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. No, you can't. But you have within you the power to live it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that liveth. It's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can't live your Christian life because of Christ's character and because of Christ's imputed righteousness. You can live it through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm done. Whew. Lastly, the third thing the Holy Spirit does. And I like this one. Somebody ought to get ready to clap or shout. Look at verse number 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want you to know the message involves a fact. We're all going to face judgment. It's appointed man wants to die and then appear before judgment. And after this, the judgment. And you might say, well, I'm getting along real good. Well, you ain't judged me yet. I had a guy come to me. How many's ever talked to crazy people? Well, I do every day. How many's ever talked to crazy people? I had this guy I led to the Lord this day, and he come to me, Zach. I think he's Jesus slid off his cracker. I'm not sure. I knew his elevator didn't go to the top floor, but something, you know. Y'all know. How many's met one of them? But he come to me and he said, Preacher Smith, do you believe in reincarnation? I said, absolutely no. I said, I believe in resurrection. Well, he said, I heard that if you're reincarnated, you won't have to face God and won't have to face judgment. And I said, no, not Bible. I said, you're not coming back as a cow or a fly. And I led him to Christ. And we spoke a while long, and he got laughing. You know, he's crazy. I told you, did I say he was crazy? He said, but if reincarnation was real, with my luck, I'd come back as a hound dog and my mother-in-law as a flea. And you'll get that later. Number two, the message of judgment involves a foe. I'm gonna get real happy here. How many of you know the devil gives you a hard time? Can I quote a verse? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. He's going to hell. Now listen to this. Number three, and I'm done. And the message involves a future. not only is the devil going to go into hell. Remember when David killed Goliath? How many remember? Not only did David defeat him, he defeated all Goliath's family and all the Philistines. Yeah. I want you to know something. If you're here lost and you don't get saved, when the devil gets judged, you're going to be judged also. And there is a white throne judgment. Not the judgment seat, a white throne judgment. And heaven and earth will flee away. And you'll stand before a thrice holy God. Lois, you get ready to sing. You'll stand before a thrice holy God. And this is the saddest fact. You'll go to hell, and you'll go to the lake of fire over preaching, over praying of your family, over the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And you're even, remember this day, if you're in church lost, when you heard the gospel of Christ. And it can't be presented any clearer than I have this morning. Are you ready to meet God? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many in this room, and you that are being baptized, go right ahead. How many in this room know that you know that you know? If you died right now, you know you're going to heaven. Raise your hand. Hold them high as you can. Thank you. How many right now say, Pastor, I'm here this morning, and I know I'm a sinner. Pastor, I know my only hope's Christ, and I do know this. I don't want to die and go to hell. How many sinners are here this morning say, Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. And before I die, before Christ comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. How many people are lost right now? Raise your hand and say, I know I'm lost, and I know I need God, and I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just raise it up. Yes, anybody else? Slip it. Stand with me. If you're here this morning without Christ, if you're here as a Christian and you have backslid on God, you're saved, but you're backslidden, and you know you need to get back right with God, living a consistent life, why don't you come right now? Would you do it? Our Father, I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. I pray right now that you would draw sinners. Lord, there's folks here that I'm sure have been saved, but they're not living it today. They don't usually go to church. It's not in their habit. They don't usually read their Bible because they're cold and they're backslidden and they need you this morning. And I pray they'll come this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?